Linda K. Wertheimer is a veteran journalist and award-winning education writer. With nuance and expertise, Linda has taken on a contentious issue in today's America. Just published by Beacon Press, her book is Faith Ed, Teaching About Religion in an Age of Intolerance. And I am very pleased it brings Linda K. Wertheimer to State of Belief Radio. Linda, welcome to State of Belief.
Thank you for having me.
I don't have to tell you, this subject can be a real minefield. What made you want to write this book?
Well, there were two reasons. One was personal. I was born in upstate New York, and then when I was 9, we moved to Ohio. And the very first week of school, they had this woman come in and teach us. I'm Jewish, and she's that background. So this woman came in, and she taught us Bible classes, all steeped in Christianity, and had us sing Jesus Loves Me. And she was hired by the local churches. And this was in the 1970s. Mm-hmm. And I went home, told my parents about it, and they're like, well, that's not right. You know, that's illegal. They went and talked to the school system, who said, well, our community wants these classes, so we'll just excuse your daughter. So they excused me, and then so each week the church lady, I called her the church lady, the church lady came, and I would leave. As soon as she came in, I left. I was escorted out by my teacher, and the kids noticed. And they would say, well, why don't you stay? And I say, well, I'm Jewish. And they said, well, what's that? And I would try to explain, and they said, you don't believe in Jesus, you're going to hell. And I experienced that for many, many years. And in the back of my mind, there was always this question. Was that anti-Semitism, or was it ignorance? I always wondered, well, you know, what if the teachers had taught us about many religions instead of one? Could that have made a difference? Could that have essentially softened the division? So reason two, fast forward, you know, I've now been a journalist for a very long time. It's 2010. I spot a headline in the Boston Globe about Wellesley Middle School. And they had taken their kids on a field trip to a mosque. And it turned into this huge uproar. And it's going to sound a little bit like a soap opera, but a parent had been sent in with a video camera by a group that didn't like this mosque. And on this field trip, a worshiper invited a handful of boys to join the line of worshipers. So the parent is catching this on camera. This is the spring of 2010. 3 months later, out comes a video by this group that says, Wellesley public school students learn to pray to Allah. And a huge controversy erupted. And I was actually more intrigued by the fact that these sixth graders were spending January to June learning about the world's religion. They were taking field trips to a mosque, to a Hindu mandir. They had guest speakers. They were doing projects. They were having discussions. So I spent like 5 to 6 months shadowing them to find out, well, what is this course about? How did they recover from the controversy? Will they do more field trips? And that sort of got me going on this exploration around the country of the subject.
Linda, what's the model for doing teaching about religion in a way that doesn't end up promoting a particular religion or disparaging one?
I wouldn't say there's one model. Okay, so to give you a couple examples.
Good.
For example, I think Wellesley Middle School is doing a fine job of teaching the children about four different religions. The teachers are trained not to express bias that this one is better or that one's better. The teacher does a very skillful exercise where they, when they're doing comparisons, it's more like, well, what does this religion believe about life and death versus this religion? Or Jesus means what in Christianity versus what does he mean in Islam? And it's not, this is a better way to believe. I would also mention Modesto, California, because they've avoided controversy, and they've done this since the year 2000, and they require all high school students to take a world religions course before they graduate. And it's 9 weeks long, and they actually worked with the religious communities in some respect to deal with some of the questions you just raised. And they let them look at the textbook, and the textbook actually has the same number of pages per religion. And they probably go farther than any district I know to try to be as objective as they can to avoid controversy. They don't do field trips. They don't bring in guest speakers. They don't try on things. And it seems weird to say objective when you're talking about religion, but it really is an objective treatment. They're dealing with sort of the basic facts that most people can agree on, mm-hmm. on each religion.
Linda, some people looking at the title of the book could make the assumption that this is just a book for administrators in school and for people who teach in that particular area. I know you wrote it with a larger audience in mind. Tell us who was in your mind when you wrote the book.
So obviously, yes, educators were in my mind. Parents were in my mind. Teenagers were in my mind. And faith communities, all kinds of faith communities were in their mind because they need to be a part of this discussion in terms of how we're teaching about religion in the public schools,
mm-hmm.
because it's their religion that's being taught. And, you know, I've been doing probably one or two talks a week now, mm-hmm. about the book, and I'm getting tons of invitations to speak from churches, from mm-hmm. mosques, and from temples and churches of different branches. So it's really resonating with religious community.
Mm-hmm.
And part of it is the book is it's twofold. I mean, first of all, it has my own story wrapped into it.
Mm-hmm.
But second of all, it tells the stories of religious minorities across the country and what their experiences are. So it's a narrative nonfiction book. It's not a textbook. It's not an academic book.
If everything went just as you want it to go, what would you like a reader of the book to come away from? How should that person leave after reading your book? What do you want them feeling?
Number one, I want them to feel more empathy,
mm-hmm.
for those of us in this country who aren't Christian,
mm-hmm.
and to look around them and see who's in their community and understand that even if you think you live in a community that's 100% Christian, it may not be.
Mm-hmm.
And I want the book, one, to raise more awareness about the religious minorities in this country, which mm-hmm. is a growing group.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, along with that are the people who atheists are growing, agnostics are growing as well.
Right.
So, number one, I guess I wanted to create empathy. That's sort of a mushy mm-hmm. part of it. Number two, I want them to come away with a feeling that if they're a parent, I need to check with my school and say, you know, how are they teaching about religion? And are they actually doing enough?
Mm-hmm.
Could they do more?
Mm-hmm.
And could they go younger? I mean, I want to raise questions in people's minds. Like, you know, how young can we go with this?
Mm-hmm.
Given that kids are experiencing the bullying about religion when they enter the schoolhouse door, how young can we go? And is it okay to go as young as first grade? I think mm-hmm. it is. And I get a lot of pushback on that point.
Sure. When religion is introduced in the classroom as a subject to be studied and understood, what do you want the student to feel?
In my book, I talk to tons of students because I feel that they're actually the most important voice in this book.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I want them to feel empowered in a way, you know, empowered that I can learn about other religions in school.
Mm-hmm.
And if I'm a religious minority, it's okay to talk about it with another kid,
mm-hmm.
and not be embarrassed or ashamed or scared. You know, I want the religious minorities to feel like there's someone in their corner, frankly.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But I want those in the majority to not be so afraid to ask someone who's a religious minority a question about their religion. These classes actually open dialogue between kids.
Mm-hmm.
And it doesn't sometimes happen right in the class. Sometimes it happens a couple years later as they mature.
Mm-hmm. And I want to push it one more step because I'm thinking, yes. about the student sitting there that has grown up in a family of nuns, the N-O-N-E-S. Mm-hmm. What will you want that student to feel?
So, and I did interview students who describe themselves as atheist or agnostic.
Uh-huh.
I can't generalize because I didn't interview enough to say I talked to all of them.
Mm-hmm.
So the one that I talked to in Wellesley said he loved the class and that for him it was just merely learning about religion, different religions. It didn't make him want to adopt a religion.
Mm-hmm.
It was just an education. There was an example in the Modesto chapter of an atheist kid who sat there the first day and was like, oh, I don't want to take this class. I don't want to know any. I don't care about religion. I don't want to do this. I think it was a young girl, and she actually changed her mind after the teacher spoke with her about why learning about religion can help you understand, like, just even the news that's going on in our world and help you understand maybe some of the people around you. So I think it's important that they understand that this is teaching about religion. It's not preaching.
Mm-hmm.
And my understanding is once they kind of get that point, they're okay with it.
And it's a part of quality education for everybody in that sense.
Yes. I mean, I talk about the idea that we need to raise religiously literate Americans. Mm-hmm. That's really what this is about.
That's a good line, and we're going to have to stop there. Linda K. Wertheimer is a veteran journalist and award-winning education writer. Her new book is called Faith Ed, Teaching About Religion in an Age of Intolerance. It's an important book, Linda, and I really want to thank you for being with us today so we learn more about it on State of Belief Radio.
Thank you so much. I enjoyed it.